it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Look at you being just as safe as ever.
You bet. You never know.
You never know.
You never know how it gets to you.
You know, even if you've, by the way, nice Fouch on a couch. I think we should immediately just address the decor of your background. Henry, it's very nice to see you.
You too. It's been a long time. First time you were in college.
Oh, are you going to give people the backstory?
No, it just is an amazing thing that here we are. I met you as a student.
You did.
And now?
Do you actually remember? And now here we are. And now here I am in Phoenix, Arizona, in a Holiday Inn. And there you are in just maybe the nicest office I've seen in my entire life.
Thank you very much. This is it. The rest of the house is a shambles.
You only dress up your house when it's for something of significance. For Zoom. Yeah.
For Zoom.
Look at you, dude. You're looking very svelte in the pandemic, I must say. Thank you. Your snack habits changed?
No, you know what? I do cheek ups. Sit ups are out of the question.
I think I read that in People magazine that you're a big cheek up guy. So it's nice to hear that that's confirmed.
Yeah, I have the smallest weights that I hold on the inside of my gums. And it's an amazing technique.
Yeah, don't knock it till you try it. You've always been one of these guys.
And I want to tell you, you have to rinse your mouth out because there's this metallic taste that stays with you. You know?
The first time we met, you walked into AAPI, where your lovely and talented son, Max, one of my first people I met that I really connected with in the fraternity, because as you know, and as you said to me when you walked into the fraternity, had you been to a fraternity, by the way, prior to that? You weren't in one at Yale, were you?
I was in a fraternity at Emerson College in Boston.
Okay.
But they did not have houses. They had somebody's apartment somewhere in Boston. We took a meeting room, like one of the classrooms, and everybody drank beer. So all the brothers had their beers lined up, and I don't drink, so I had a glass of water. And the first three times they made fun of me, and the fourth time my glass of water was there lined up with the beer. And that's how we started every meeting.
Holy shit. So they busted your balls about not having beer? What would you say?
And then it became part of the tradition.
That's incredible. Did you always have that kind of fortitude to stick to your guns and not, you know, give in to peer pressure like that? Because I think most people would.
You know what? I did, mostly out of fear. Yeah. But also drinking does not make me feel good.
Really?
Not that I even a hangover. I am so filled with energy that when I drink, I become like a wet noodle.
So you do sober karaoke. Good on you.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that.
That's a big move. So when we met,
how are you?
I'm great. I'm great, Henry. I was in Australia for about 5 weeks. Doing this show, the Young Rock show that's coming out on NBC. I'm playing the Rock's left testicle. It's a stretch. I don't think it's not been portrayed before, so it'll be. I love that you're giving this moment everything it deserves.
No, I'm just is your character wrinkly or? Do you shave?
Are you gonna have to buzz your head? Really? Will they do it in prosthetics?
Are you in a bag? Is there a sack involved? I, you know, I, I, there's, you t-
truly yeah. giving it all the Hollywood, you know, angles. Yeah, that it. No, it was great. Quarantining for a couple weeks.
Are you actually from Arizona?
No, I'm from Seattle originally.
From Seattle, great yeah. city.
We great city. You when you went up there to do one of the your book tours yeah. with Hank.
Is it the Third Street? Third
Place
Third
Books
or the yeah.
Third Place Books. Henry, I can't tell you the amount of Jewish moms that were, I mean, talk that my mom was on the phone with that were like talking about, conspiring about, how can I get Henry Winkler to sign my cleavage? And I was like, I feel like I could send a couple texts. I don't know.
I never did that because I was always afraid that the Sharpie ink would get into the bloodstream. So I always stuck to paper.
That's why. Wow. So you've just, you know, a lot of rock stars, and I think we can put you in that category, would not be that conscious.
I wish I could sing. That is my, one of my things. If there is reincarnation, if there is such a thing, I'm coming back as the boss. Who can sing like Sia and move like Bruno Mars.
Oh, yeah, you ain't kidding. That guy, huh?
I saw him at the Bowl. It's unbelievable. And Sia, I met in a Whole Foods.
Of course.
I was so excited. I lost my ability to speak.
What were you shopping? What were you shopping for and what did you...
Okay. So what I would go for...
No.
Some kind of a foreign cheese.
You're a big cheese guy?
I am.
Dude.
Except that, you know, too much cheese, you get gout. And that, you know, your big toe, I can't even begin to tell you how painful that is.
But do you ever get to a point where you go, God, it's worth it. I got another toe.
Yes. you know what? You know, when last night at 8 o'clock, my wife and I went to someplace called Window. It's the American Beauty cheeseburger on 5th and Rose in Santa Monica or in Venice with grilled onions. And I paid. But oh, was it good going down?
Come on. You have to make room for those simple pleasures, especially... you know, and I don't know if you're one of these people that does this when things are a little more uncertain and chaotic. Do you find yourself giving in to like stuff that comforts you a little bit more, whether it's,
you know what I do? Yeah. Food mostly.
Yeah.
And like Phoenix, I believe one of the greatest pizzas in America is Blanco, you know, Chris Blanco.
I do.
Yeah. So, the Pizza Blanco or Blanco Pizza, whatever, it may be one of the great pizzas of all time.
You're not wrong about that. Also,
and I think he just opened in L.A., but of course he had to close because we are shut down now.
There's nobody there, but there's somebody there, and I see you. Hey, guys, comedian Adam Ray here. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. I hope you're enjoying the episode, and I hope you're doing okay. It's a crazy, crazy time right now. And if you're a little uneasy, I get that. And I've also got the answer. Koi CBD. Say it with me. Koi CBD. Feels good. And it does feel good because I use all their products. I've been fucking with the fellas at Koi CBD since my circumcision. And I'll tell you this much. They're the best in the game. Okay? Gummies, bath bombs, tinctures, joints, creams, oils. They got stuff for pets. Koi CBD has been giving the people what they need to feel better, to mellow out, to go to sleep right, to take away the aches and pains with the creams and oils, the bath bombs, make bathing just the best thing ever. You get a little radiation high from the balms. I don't know what's in it, but fucking goodness and just all sorts of, it's amazing, okay? It feels like drugs, and it's not, because it's CBD. So, if you want to get these amazing products, and I know you do, because I got the Adam Ray stamp of approval, go to KoiCBD.com and put in the code ALN15 to get 15% off your first order. KoiCBD.com, the promo code ALN15 to get 15% off your first order. Do it today and start living and feeling the right way. And now, back to the episode.
Let me ask you a question. Are we on the air now?
Yeah.
Or is this recorded for another time?
No, we're recording. So what is it? This is recording for a post on Monday. We are live right now. You and I are actually talking.
I am alive. That's true. But it's going to be on Monday. So let me just say to everyone that is listening or the person who's listening.
How dare you?
I would just like to say, I hope you are extraordinarily healthy, your family is healthy, and that you remain healthy.
I love that. That is...
I'm having trouble with people who are thinking that the pandemic is a hoax.
Yeah, I've been out here doing shows this weekend in Phoenix, and there are a handful of comedy clubs that are doing it right as far as adhering to, you know, mask protocols for staff
and patrons. Can you be funny in a mask? Are you funny in a mask?
I'm not wearing one.
You're spewing
everybody
else's mask.
They're back. They are far away. It's distanced. Their tables are spread apart.
Are you funny at a distance?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you and I are thousands of miles away. I don't think I could be any funnier right now.
Yeah, you know what? You're hysterical. I can't breathe. I cannot breathe.
It could be the gout, but I'll take that as a compliment.
Oh, man, don't even say the word out loud. You never want to experience. You know, I've had it now twice.
Oh, shit.
And I'm not sure where it comes from. I think, because I don't drink, I think it comes from overeating cheese. But man, oh man, oh man.
Henry, do you still videotape the rain? Max told me when I first went to your lovely home, I think it was for a break the fast dinner, which thank you again for having me. And it was my first reel, by the way.
Did you take home all the leftovers? I couldn't find any lox the next morning. Was that you?
I got to be honest. You hung around for a while. It was you, myself, Adam Fox, I believe Jonah was there, Mr. Tickman. And at some point, you and your lovely wife, Stace, went off to do whatever. And I may or may not have taken more than my fair share of lockers home.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to know where it went.
By the way, I love that.
Flown in from New York and then all of a sudden it flew out of the house. And now I know why. The greatest locks I've ever had is Zabar's on Broadway in New York City on the West Side.
That, do you have an amazing memory, and it seems like you do, for places? Because I'm willing to assume, even pre-fame, you had your spots, right? You had your sandwich spot. You had and you spending time on the East Coast and West Coast and truly all over. But do you, as you got more into this business and life, did you start making a list, or do you just know innately?
I have a business card from every wonderful restaurant we've eaten in. From Winnipeg to Miami.
That's incredible. And do you
I'm going to close this door because there is a gardener who is taking care of somebody else's property. Excuse me, I just belched with a blower.
Ugh. Your timing, Henry, is you're not missing any beats during this pandemic, and I hope you know that. Do you feel like your comedic timing? I mean, shit, I was watching old Happy Days stuff with my fiance's father.
How many do you have?
My soon-to-be father.
Fiance. Fiancés. you meant possessive. I see.
Yeah. I thought,
you are good. You live in Utah? Wow.
Yeah. Well, once news broke I was the Rock's nut, people started just hitting me up. And the DMs were flooded, Henry.
Yeah.
His name's Bill Bennett, my father-in-law. He is possibly, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times over, your biggest fan. But this man adores you. And
You know what? I want you to email his name, address, and zip code to me.
You're not going to send him some inappropriate snapshots, are you, Henry? Because that will make his Christmas.
I don't do that because I'm not good with the camera on the phone.
That's the only reason.
I'm not kidding. And holding a 35, millimeter, I slip. It falls.
Yeah. Now he's got, you know, shirts, sweats, hats.
Just send me.
I will.
His name, address, and zip code.
Does it at the point to where things really start to move in a fun direction? Did it become overwhelming ever seeing the amount of, I think Max sent me a picture once, or maybe you guys might've been traveling or he was traveling overseas. And it was a mural, I believe, of Fonz in Italy or maybe Germany, somewhere. And Italy. And it was incredible. It wasn't just a mural. It was like an incredible piece of art, which most murals are. But this was so detailed, Henry, that I was like this. And it was huge.
No, Italy has always been amazingly, Australia, Italy, England, Ireland, Scotland, they had Japan have been incredibly supportive. Are we heard in a foreign country or you're like
this is global
state area?
This is global. It's global. Well, global as far as we got Burbank, Des Moines, and Tacoma, Washington are all listening right now. So
Tacoma, I was in Tacoma. I love Tacoma.
Do you?
Yeah.
How many radio stations would love to just...
I only have one tattoo, and it says Tacoma.
Do you really have a tattoo, though?
No.
Oh, I almost...
I'm a short Jew. If I saw a needle coming at me, I would cry like a 9-year-old girl.
Oh, God. I feel the same way, dude. I almost got one in Australia because the experience was so, you know, it's just really... you know, hopefully great show. And it was such a fun experience and it was, you know, mask free and Australia's got things under control. And the whole thing was so, especially during these times, just very unique. And I wanted to kind of commemorate it with a tattoo of something, but I didn't know what to get. I thought about maybe the mom's initials. I thought about maybe Kermit the Frog sitting on the Space Needle, right? Hometown, one of my first heroes. I thought about just you with a thought bubble. I love Tacoma.
That's what I would do. If you're going to get I would go with me.
Yeah.
I mean, really, screw Kermit. He's cute, but he's fur.
Do you know what? Do you know when I first met Kermit was when I interned for you on Hollywood Squares?
Yeah.
Circa 2003.
The greatest jobs I've ever had.
I was going to ask you, you seemed so in your element. You, graciously allowed me to sit in on some production meetings in which you guys,
well, how are you going to learn?
Totally. Because I would come in early and sometimes, man, I was all, you know, kicking around and there was just only so much office stuff to do. And then you saw that one day and you brought me into the production, offices and let me really just soak up, which was really cool. Cause you didn't have to do that. I'm glad you did. Otherwise I would have probably yelped about the experience, but, nonetheless, that was a joke.
I'm not so smiling. Glad you didn't. I'm not kidding.
But you were so, kind to bring me into that world. And that happened again, because when you walked into AAPI with Max's Laundry, and I tell the story all the time, because this is a quintessential Henry Winkler story. And I feel so honored, by the way, to have a relationship with you and that you've been so gracious to me over the years with reaching out to you for advice, career advice. I called you, I think, when I was at Principato Young and wasn't getting the love from these managers when I was up and coming that I wanted. And you know, I called you and I started kind of rambling about it like I am now. And you were like, Adam Ray, get to the point. And I was like, it made me hunker down, condense the words. I told you what was up. You gave me this amazing advice, Henry, that I think you do without even thinking about it, because you probably do it so often, that you said, no matter who's ever repping you or who's like, you know, has control or is helping guide things, it's all going to be on you. He's like, the hustle, the opportunities that are created, the paths that you go on, it's all going to be self-created.
True. You cannot depend on anybody else. And if there's somebody out there who's thinking about going into our industry, just know that you are going to carve that path. And I didn't know how to do it either. You just go on your instinct and you keep plowing until you get where you want to go.
That being said, can I borrow 50 grand?
Yes,
now
you can.
It's a business
from somebody else, but I'm sure that somebody is going to give it to you.
So you walked in with this bag of clothes and you walked in and you beelined. It was like a Sunday afternoon, not a lot of kids around, not a lot of fraternity chaos. You walked in, I'm, you know, just meandering through the bottom floor of AAPI. You walk right in and I just go, holy shit. And up until this point, I have not met anybody who's been on TV. I met the local weatherman in Seattle, Steve Poole, when I was 10 at the aquarium.
Stevie.
Yeah.
Man, what he knows about a clown. I'm not kidding. I've always looked up to Stevie.
He had a headshot on him that he signed for me. I'll never forget it.
Right.
So you walk in, you go, excuse me. And I go, and you go, I'm Henry Winkler. I go, I know. He goes, and you go, of course you do. And then you go, and then you gave me Max's clothes and you go, my son Max lives here. I go, I love Max. Everybody does. This is incredible. What do you need? And you go, I need to get these clothes to him. And then you go, you seem like a trusting boy. You go, I feel like you've got kind eyes. You go, I feel like they'll get to the right place if I hand these to you. I go, Henry, I will guard these clothes with my life. And you go, not necessary. Just give them to Max.
Max, take off the bulletproof vest.
So you hand them to me and then you pull them back and you go, you're not going to do anything weird with these clothes, are you? And I go, excuse me? And you go, we're in a fraternity. I know a lot of weird stuff happens. No defecation or anything will happen to these clothes. And I go, you have my word. Nobody will shit on your son's clothes. And you go, thank you. And you handed me the clothes. And dude, it was. And then we talked.
The story actually happened. Those words came out of my mouth.
Yeah. And then I told you that I was in the acting. Then I incredibly. And then I'm like, he's probably like this all the time with everybody. And then I tell you I'm in the acting.
I don't use the word defecation a lot. I save that for very special people.
So honored. I told you I was in the acting school. And then you couldn't have been more. Your eyes lit up extra. And because. You know, I don't know. I think obviously you have a connection to drama school and the grind. And you went out of your way to give me a lot of.
You know what? When I arrived here, I had a letter from an executive at Fox. And I was supposed to call him and have a meeting with him. And I, like a dope, called once a week, twice a week, every week. The man never called me back, and I swore if I was able to create a space for myself here in Hollywood, I would never do that. So I wish I had someone who was a professional to talk to me when I was brand new. And I guess that was my mantra.
So you never, you spoke to my senior year SE acting class. I don't know if you remember that in 2005, and I'm sure you've done that.
And I do.
Yeah.
With, what was the fabulous Dean, Italian name?
Puzo.
Puzo. Oh, I loved her.
She was a sweetheart. Yeah. She really loved theater. And that was an incredible thing to have you come in and talk to us because like you just said, you opened my eyes, and I'm sure the rest of the class, to the idea that, oh, there is life after college, and then you're truly having to create something out of nothing. And you really instilled in me this idea that I got to get active, and that's why I started working at a big comedy casting office for free 5 days a week on top of working, playing.
That's so smart. That is so smart.
You know, doing the YouTube. Yeah. I mean, it was
everything will apply to what you want to do. I say if you can clean the floor of the office, you're in the office. You're meeting people. Nothing is too small.
Did you have any side jobs? Because when I was working at Universal Studios as Wolverine, I would call you sometimes and tell you that I wanted to quit and move to New York and try to be on SNL. And you were like, well, then who's going to play Wolverine? And then I said, good point. Nice talking to you. I guess I'm staying in LA.
Right.
You were very thorough with trying to weigh the pros and cons, but did you have any jobs pre Mary Tyler Moore?
I was a travel agent.
Okay.
I sold, going to Europe, you get a car, a plane, and hotels. It was called Europa Car.
Nice.
I sold those packages, and I sold so many that I got a free cruise to Bermuda.
Oh, my God.
And the cruise was on D-level, which is below the water. And I just want to say I was seasick.
Of course.
Yeah. I did not care about Bermuda after a while.
did that, but that job, at least you were flexing the muscle of gabbing, right? And I mean, do you feel like you chose, yeah, do you feel like you chose jobs? You say accents?
Accents.
Really?
Yes, I it was a Europa car, so I would do like I was from Germany and come visit. Yeah, we're very nice people here, and get a car, drive around, and have a schnitzel.
Did you feel like you chose jobs prior to acting, which I know you said you wanted to do when you were, what, 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel like you were choosing jobs in a way?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think I got a job and I was so happy to have any job except working in my father's office, filing and cleaning the display cases of the different kinds of wood that my father bought and sold. And sold wood. I did not want to buy and sell wood. I wanted to go to Hollywood.
Yeah, right. Kind of close.
Wood I was interested in.
He gave you your first job.
Yeah.
What are you looking for, Henry? What'd you lose?
Nothing. I was just, my toes are cold here in the office, and I was just crossing my legs and didn't want to pull any wires out of the wall.
Do you want to take a beat to find some house slippers, or are you press on?
No, I've got on some pretty powerful socks, my fishing socks.
Dude, let's talk about that. You fishing, I feel like I've seen you fish with our boy Harlan Williams. I've seen you fish.
Harlan, this, look at this, see?
Holy shit.
Harlan and I went fishing in Canada.
Yep.
For bass.
Yep.
And for salmon. And I caught, actually, I don't have my picture, but I have the biggest fish I ever caught was one of those salmon. But then I take pictures.
Dude, how did you just,
I'm fishing.
You have an eye for these landscapes, huh?
Yeah. It's called I Never Met an Idiot on the River. It's the only adult book I've ever written.
What does that mean?
Well, it is about everything I learned from fly fishing that I apply to life. And then photographs I took while fly fishing, I put in this book.
Yeah, Harlan said he had a great time. He was like, buddy, everybody loves.
I directed him.
In what?
In I think maybe I even, maybe it was the pilot, but it was a show that he was the star of. I directed an episode.
This
is my newest book, Alien Superstore. This would be a great Christmas gift for any child from 4th to 7th grade.
Oh, break it down. What's it about?
Do adults listen to you?
Henry, our audience spans the gamut. We're from 17 to, 75.
Wow.
76 is all Joe Rogan fans.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Boy, people just, they give him a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
But this is called Light Camera Action, The Alien Superstar. And it's our second volume. It was just in Publishers Weekly.
That's a big deal.
As a great sequel.
And this is, can you give us a little backstory on the tale?
So this alien has to leave his oppressed planet because at 13, they take his personality and they dial it down so that all the citizens of this red planet, they are kind of like they don't make any trouble for the government. So his grandmother gets him into a spaceship that she builds. He flies across the universe, lands on Earth on the only address they know, the back lot of Universal Studios, where, and I don't know how this happens, he gets a job on a situational comedy as an alien because he's already got the costume. And it is his adventure on the Earth. Now, the second one.
That's incredible.
They send one of the squadron. And she's called Citizen Cruel. And she comes to kidnap him. but I can't tell you what happens.
Henry, that's incredible. Is this from your brain or did you collab?
And Lynn Oliver, my writing partner.
Oh, man. You guys have just punched out so many hits. Yeah.
That's 35 novels. That's our 35th novel.
What is there a different joy that you get from writing a book than you do from acting and TV?
I am
film?
Proudest of, outside my family, I am proudest of writing the books because I'm dyslexic and I never thought that I would ever be able to write a novel, let alone 35. And I could not have done it without my partner, Lynn.
That's amazing. Do you know how many people, going back real quick to me telling that story and doing a voice of your voice in the story, do people do that a lot? Is that, I didn't know if people have impressions of you, if you like it. I saw an old episode of Happy Days where Ron Howard in the show was doing a conversation between himself and the Fonz in front of you. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this is the first time. I had so many questions. Like, did you know, did you practice it pre, or did he want to do it for the first time on camera in front of you? Had people done it to you during?
Oh, yeah, no. We rehearsed 5 days or 4.5 days. And then shot in front of an audience. It was really serious business. You know, W.C. Fields, I think, said, dying is hard, comedy is harder. I mean, it really, it's being funny is serious business.
Do you feel like that was your school of comedy? Was that, because you did 4 lines on Mary Tyler Moore, right? That was your first.
Right.
First TV gig.
No, because I got a master's degree from the Yale School of Drama.
Right.
Where, you know, you did a play at night and you rehearsed another one during the day and took classes and, you know, improved your voice and your body and your mind and your ability for 3 years. And then I thought training was really important.
Was there a moment during the run of Happy Days where you felt like you, because I, you know, with iconic characters, people always just assume from the get-go, you walked on stage, you put on the jacket, you put your thumbs out, you had it, like, but I would, venture to assume that it took time to find the character, and it's, that's the fun of discovering.
Well, it took a while to find the character, and then now you're in the zone, now you're playing him for a few years, but the show keeps going. Now you've got to find new levels. That's when I changed from the white t-shirt to the black t-shirt. I thought, I've got to make a change of some sort, something to spruce this up. And I went back to the white t-shirt because the black t-shirt just didn't cut it.
Didn't cut it. What was the vibe as it is on most shows now? You hear about, you know, that sitcoms are these families and everybody is just super tight. Did you guys have?
We are still super tight.
Yeah.
45 years later, we are still super tight. And you cannot make a comedy. You can't be really in a piece of entertainment where you're not an ensemble. You know, unless you're doing a one-man show. And then you've got to depend on that with the audience, that you build this bubble with the audience. But I for me, if you're not an ensemble, it is no fun at all.
Did you ever think about that's interesting that you say that. So something like, because I've seen you, obviously in lots of one-on-one conversation type things and like things like a podcast you shine in, would you ever do, stand up or something like that? That was just truly no.
And I'll tell you why. I tried it in college. I got $33 for, going to a senior facility to tell jokes, and I realized it is an art form that either you can do or leave it to the professionals.
Yeah. Do you believe in having like a true, you've either got something or you don't, or that you can, like if you're giving advice to a young actor, which you've done to me many times, can you see Will you give different advice if you can just see or pick up on their drive or level of talent? Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully you're listening to who they are and you talk to them directly, whoever that young person is. Yeah.
Do you give that advice to your, like Max growing up?
Max said to me, every time you talk to my friends, does it have to be a lesson? Do you have to give them a lesson? I said, I didn't realize I was doing that. I thought I was being helpful.
Yeah.
And then I realized I will be quiet now until he asks for something.
Gotcha.
And then I will talk in short sentences to any person out there who is thinking of being a parent, who is a parent. Here's my advice. When you're talking to your child, talk in short sentences because they stop listening and you're still going.
That could not be. I'm only an uncle, but the parenting that I try to instill on them is I can just see it in their eyes after about 10 seconds. They're either looking somewhere else or they're looking right past me or they're thinking about Slurpees or a hot tub or both.
How old are they?
The girls are twins. They just turned 11. The boy is 6. Wow. And they're just getting into that where they're still very cute and fun and cool, but they definitely are, you know, if I make a TikTok 11, video,
they're starting to borrow their mom's makeup.
Borrow the makeup, doing dance, making, they have a kid version of TikTok called Likey. They're doing some dances on that. Their comedy is great. One of them made a thing on Instagram with my phone where the filter was a piece of poop. And she was the face. You're like, yes, I sent out my Thanksgiving cards.
Poop is very big. Poop is very big with grandchildren.
It's not going anywhere.
My granddaughter came over on Thanksgiving and said, Papa, you don't have a TikTok? We have to remedy that. And she created a TikTok account. I did one dance, and I'm now a TikToker.
We will cut to that dance. Did she give you advice? Are you down for staying connected like that, or are you just absolutely, like, you know what?
I love Twitter.
Yeah, you do.
I'm a Twitter person. I enjoy it. I like it.
I want to get a gauge on if you think what my niece did with this poop filter was funny. She put her face in the piece of poo and she goes, oh, look at me. I used to be a pickle.
And then
it's down on the ground and she goes, wait, no, don't pick me up. I'm not chocolate.
That's very funny.
Very funny. 11 years old. I posted it because I was like, am I crazy or is this very funny?
No, that's really smart.
She had a take on it. She said the two things that if poop could talk would probably want people to, you know.
Really, what else do you want to hear from poop? I don't want to hear another sentence from poop. But just the, oh, I used to be a pickle is so funny. And not only that, but pickle, you know, Neil Simon would say things like pickle is funny. 33 is funny. 34 is not a funny number.
Holy shit, that's so true. Those things do matter, huh?
They do.
Yeah. Rhythm. Do you? How much do you? Obviously, with and first of all, winning an Emmy.
I don't have much more to say here.
Yeah. A few more minutes. Yeah, we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. How are your feet?
Oh, my feet are freezing, and I don't know. I just. I'm thinking about a bialy toasted with butter.
Have you what when you said in your Emmy win for Barry, which I know you've probably talked about at great length, Henry, but yeah. I got really choked up watching that in your speech. Not only watching you and knowing you and just your body of work and how much you've made people laugh and smile over the years, 10 times over, and to see you up there and to see genuine joy through your body and your face and to see people stand up. I was like, that's what really got me, is seeing the amount of adulation and support and love that I know exists around the world for you, but to see it in that room and the way they cut around to it so dramatically.
I was so crazed. I did not see it until I watched the playback. I did not see them. I did not. All I thought about was, oh my God, I'm walking up the stairs. There were the two stars of The Crown, which I loved. I start talking to them about how wonderful their second season is. I'm thinking, oh my God, I've got to make a speech. I turn around. I have 39 seconds left. And I crammed it all in those 39 seconds. But, and the only thing I wrote, you know, when I first was nominated 40 years ago was, hey, kids, you can go to bed. Daddy won. Yes. Now they're 36, 40, and 50.
That was so sweet. Did you get, did you stick around for that after party? I'm sure you had to, right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you have any? You
know, I think yeah. you've got to participate. And it was like, you know, I heard about it. I've never gone to an after party before. It was a lot of fun.
People assume
Jeff Daniels, who I love as an actor.
Yes. People assume that people at your level know everybody. Did you have people come up to you?
We don't know everybody. I'd like to know Adele.
Please write that book just about you trying to track down Adele for a year. Maybe it's a documentary. We follow you.
What? I'll tell you.
What do you love about her?
I don't know much about her. I just her voice. I mean, her albums are you can listen to them every moment of every day, I think.
What do you think that you would in meeting her? Do you think one of your opening lines would include, I directed Cop and a Half?
No, I think the first thing I would say to her is, I adore you. I directed Cop and a Half.
Henry, I told you that probably the second time we were around each other because that movie is in my top 10 comedies of all time.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome. I fucking love that movie. Excuse my language.
No, the kid is amazed that you just said that. I'm covering my ears.
The kid is brilliant. Bert, the chemistry,
you were not supposed to talk about the dead, bless him, and you're only supposed to say nice things.
Yes.
He was nuts. Okay, moving on.
yes.
Let me just say
yeah.
that of movies that I made, I love The Waterboy, I love Scream, but Night Shift still holds up.
Yep.
Was Michael Keaton's first movie, and the one that I made with Kevin James. Here comes
the boom.
I really enjoy that movie.
How many of your movies do you go back to watch? Click? I saw you at the Click premiere.
Click. I like Click. I enjoy. I still carry with me in my wallet, which is green, which is my favorite color. But I have in my wallet
Adam Sandler's pin number.
A water trick that I did in Click.
This is amazing. You're about to do it, aren't you?
Okay. We're quarter, right?
Hey, looks like a quarter. Sounds like a quarter.
Okay. Okay. I have to concentrate. Count to three.
One, two, three.
Okay. It's broken. All right. There you go. That's the kind of magician I am. I do carry it in my wallet, and now I don't. Because the damn thing broke.
Dude, I was going to ask to hire you at my wedding. I feel like now I can ask for a discount.
You can. I'm a great MC.
I bet you are.
Let's do the bunny hop. Do they still do the bunny hop?
You as a bar mitzvah DJ has to happen in some film.
Oh, my God. Okay, everybody, turn off the lights, please. Put on the glow lights. Here we go. Put them around your neck. Yeah. All right, a little glow light necklace.
You have all these asides and throwaway lines, but you're supposed to be, you know, hyping people up into the mic. But yeah, here we go. We're having a good time. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now. It's truly the only way that I've found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time, at my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential. And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, available worldwide. And again, there's four ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more. Unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, and above all, it's affordable, all right? It's truly the most affordable option I've found. So right now, all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code AboutLastNight. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight and get 10% off your first month with promo code AboutLastNight. And now, back to the episode. All right, a few more questions, and these are from fans. Quite a few send in.
We're not even on the air. How are fans sending this?
posted some things a few weeks ago and got a lot of messages and emails from people that wanted to connect. One, Brittany.
One or two. From Brittany, one or two, my very point.
Well, Brittany said, what was it like to get murdered and scream? Were you scared?
No, I was not scared. However, now, here is the late Wes Craven was a genius.
Yes.
He looked like an English professor. He spoke unbelievably softly. And he came up to me after the first take and he said, do you think you would scream a little louder? Do you think it might be more excruciating? I said, yeah, I can do that. And I had these plastic tubes up my clothing, slit in my shirt, in my pants, in my everywhere. And as I was stabbed, I spouted blood. But we did it a few times until I got to the correct amount of a scrooge.
Did you go? Did you watch that movie?
I did, but it scared me.
It did. Those types of movies scare you.
You know, shooting a scary movie takes a little longer because there are so many cuts to create the tension, more cuts than usual in a usual movie.
Tyler Mesner asks, what was your favorite scene in The Waterboy?
Do you know what? I being lost in front of the chalkboard when I absolutely didn't know what the play was, and then I didn't know where I was, and I got crazy.
Henry, that was such a brilliant, I mean, I don't know how much you're, with Adam, I'm assuming you're encouraged to bring full Henry to everything. I'm assuming most things.
Yes, you're encouraged to bring full Henry, but he is in charge of every beat of comedy. He's another man who is unbelievably at the top of brilliance. I'm telling you, He is in charge of every detail of the things he makes.
Wearing all the hats at all times.
And well, and doesn't dress very well after the hat.
Yeah.
He is a brilliant fellow.
Yeah, your guys' chemistry is just second to none. Your most rewarding moment from a fan that has reached out, maybe a letter they've sent you.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Last night I went to the window to get a cheeseburger.
Yes.
As I'm standing there, a young woman came up out of a crowd wearing a mask. She must have been 25, maybe, I think. And she said, "Are you Henry Winkler?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I read all your books. I read Hank Zipser when I was growing up." Oh, my God. Yesterday.
All of them yesterday?
No. She said it to me yesterday. She
yesterday?
Read it years ago.
That's a great compliment.
Great. Great.
Way better when you get it live in the flesh than through text or email, right?
It was no. People are so incredibly warm to me on Twitter, and it's every message is wonderful. I'm not kidding.
Are you a hug or a high five guy?
Hug.
A favorite Jewish holiday?
Passover.
An actor you'd love to act with?
Robert De Niro. Ryan Gosling.
Oh, nice.
I mean, there are so many, but Meryl Streep.
Come on. I love that. Favorites?
Robert De Niro, I met him on the lot of Happy Days. Ron Howard and I were walking by. He was shooting The Godfather.
Oh, my
they
God.
They were using a set near the soundstage we shot Happy Days on. Ron and I said, "Gotta go say hello." Walked up to him and I said, "I just have to tell you, because the first movie I ever saw in Hollywood as a screening was Mean Streets. I said, I just want to tell you, not only are you great, but you use the word fuck better than anybody I've ever heard in my life." Cut to 40 years later, 3 years ago, he's in a movie called The Intern. I don't know if it's 3, 4. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sure.
I walk up to him at the premiere because our friend directed it. And I said, "I'm so happy to see you." He said, "40 years ago, you said to me, you use the word fuck better than anybody." I went, "Oh my God, you know who I am. You remember that?"
Oh my God.
And then I swear to God, I said, "I'm so sorry. I've got to be a fan." And I took a selfie with him.
Oh, my God. Do you have that?
Can you imagine?
No.
One of the great moments of, I don't know, of my professional life.
1,000%. To remember and to say that and to bring that up to you and share that. I mean, that's, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I love that you can still, and that was going to be another question. Do you get starstruck or fan out like
that?
And I
do, especially with music people.
Oh, really?
I'm getting a little better. I took a selfie with Elton John and Helen Mirren at an award show last year. And I did go up years ago to Elton John and say, "You know what? I've got all your records. John, you are so..." And I walked away. I called the man John. I mean,
are you not supposed to do that?
No, I walked up to this was devastating. I walked up to Mick Jagger in a sushi restaurant here in L.A.
Perfect.
I went, "Oh, my God, what a pleasure. I'm so happy to see you." Oh, and he looked up at me and he went, "Henry," and then went back to his sushi roll. And I slinked out of the restaurant.
Yeah, just a slow
slink.
Oh, God.
And I only felt better because men, a group of businessmen sitting at a table near the door went, "You just spoke to Mick Jagger. You just had an interaction with Mick Jagger." I went, Yes, I did. Little did they know, the man cut me at the knees just saying my name with no affect, except for get the fuck out of here.
Henry. At least you...
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. It's so funny, those moments that you remember those and can, obviously can now look back and laugh.
Yeah. I just started weeping. I just stopped weeping.
Just to piggyback on that, if you woke up and you could have a soundtrack, when you would wake up in the morning and a song would play and be the soundtrack for your day, for Henry Winkler's day, what song would that be?
I don't have one. I don't know. It would be one from maybe Chandelier. Mm. Sia, the way she sings is the way when she is at that height of emotion is the way that my insides feel.
I love that. I think a lot of people would pay money to watch on YouTube a video of you going through your morning routine to that song.
Yeah. Or something on the first album of Bruno Mars.
Yes. Treasure, it might be my favorite. That used to be my pre-show dance song for quite a while.
Oh, my God. What a talented human being.
And Jewish.
Who is?
See, Bruno.
Bruno. Wow. I didn't know that.
Now you
I
do?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. I met him. I have a picture signed that I have up in my office upstairs.
Do you just have is the office just shrined out? I mean, do you have memorabilia?
No, it isn't. It has little rocks that were painted in 1983 by my children.
Adorable.
You know, like turtles.
I love that.
And one of the rocks is pasted on a felt outline of a turtle.
Okay.
With a shell.
I love that.
So I have a lot of those in my office.
And I know you have one of the five Fonz jackets, correct?
I do.
Yeah, that would have been, I mean, I think that's, you had to have that.
Funny. I did a talk show with Jimmy Fallon, Zoom.
Yes.
And he wanted things like show and tell. Okay. And I held up the original jacket from the Lords of Flatbush.
Holy
that
shit.
That I wore in the Lords of Flatbush. And all of a sudden, a few days later, I got an email from the director saying, I have been looking for that jacket 40 years. You took it. I did not answer. I did not answer.
He just goes, Henry?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you and Mick.
Henry, this has been just incredibly special. And having you in my life, and I think, again, many...
Are you saying finally I can stop talking?
Yes, but I do want to tell you, you've been so gracious with your time over the span of our friendship. And I do want to tell you one thing that you probably, again, because you've done it so often, don't remember. But I tell this story as well, because it's another story that was so integral to my life and my journey. And it was when I booked my first TV job, which was According to Jim. I was a guest star. I don't know if you remember this.
That was Jim Belushi?
Correct. I don't know if you remember the voicemail that you left me, but I want to give you some context to the moment. I'm pulling up to the CBS Radford lot, okay, in my Ford Escape that is being held together with bungee cords and duct tape, okay?
Right.
I'm working at Universal Studios. Still, I was going there the next day to host the Fear Factor live show and then spend the other half pretending to be a fake New York cop from the 1940s, telling people where the bathrooms are and how much popcorn costs. Here I am, though, pulling up at CBS Radford. I've got fat suits and puppets in the back of my Ford Escape because I'm also shooting YouTube videos on the weekend. I'm nervous. I'm thinking about my lines. I'm panicking. Live audience. I've only done stand-up a few months. This should be easier than it feels like it's going to be. Security guard holds up the fat suit and puppets as I'm waiting to be checked and just goes, let me guess, you're single? And I was like, this is not the type of confidence boost I need right now. He lets me go through. I had called you to ask you for advice. I just was like, you know what? Who could calm me down better than somebody who has crushed this genre and is so giving with their time? I'd called you, went to voicemail. I left you a voicemail. You had called. I missed it. And I had a voicemail and I play it as I'm pulling in to see Ms. Radford. I'm listening to your voicemail. And it goes, Adam Ray, Henry Winkler. Congrats on the job. You're going to be great. Treat Mr. Belushi like an emperor. okay? But you're not there to fill space. You're great. They booked Adam Ray because they love Adam Ray. They need Adam Ray. They want Adam Ray. If you think of something funny, say it. Don't be there to fill space. You are good too. If you think of something funny, say it. All the best. Close the phone. I pull in. I'm like, fucking, I got this. I can't even tell you how much that turned my entire mentality around. Get on the set. I've got three big scenes. It's a season premiere. First two go great. Third one's happening where everyone gets together, as you know, sitcom, live audience. We do some takes. They're rewriting the lines, trying to punch up this last line.
At the moment, they rewrite. Yeah.
They rewrite. So I'm leaning over Courtney Thorne-Smith, Belushi, the directors, the producers, the writers. I think of something. And I just hear you in my voice, in my head going, if you think of something funny, say it. You're not there to fill space. I lean over and I go, what about this? And they all do a slow turn to me like, who the fuck are you? And they just stared at me. And I heard you in my head go, swing and a miss. And then I called you and told you that. And I go, Henry, I pitched them a line. And they all looked at me like I was crazy. And you go, well, it's got to be funny.
Yeah, but you know what? I swung and I missed so many times. And then there are times when you swing and you knock it right out of the park.
Right.
You just keep standing up and try again.
That's great advice. Yeah, because it grew in that moment. If I had not tried, I wouldn't have been confident to maybe do
Absolutely.
It again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Henry, I love you.
Pleasure. It was a pleasure to chat with you.
Did you have a good time?
I did.
Okay, good.
I had a very good time.
Good. Well, happy early Hanukkah. Give my best to Stace. And And this will be out next week. And I can't wait to see the Twitter just comments just blowing up. People being like, the quarter trick is tougher than it looks, Henry. Don't be so hard on yourself. I love you. Thank you for doing this.
You know what? Stay healthy. And Thank everybody you. That is listening, stay healthy.
Yeah, I love that. All right, Hen.
Thanks.
Enjoy the weekend, bud. I really appreciate this, man. This was, I know you're, you know, it's finding time, but I just love you.
We did it.
And you've been so kind to me over the years. I appreciate, and I will send you my father-in-law's address if you're serious. Hen, he is just like, man, he almost cried when I told him I was going to talk to you. He's just, you know.
You send it.
I love you. All right, enjoy the weekend. Bye, buddy.